Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have this freedom to gather, to hear what it is that you have to say, to speak into our lives, to strengthen and encourage us, to uplift us, and to set us free from the lies that the enemy has placed in our paths and in our way. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we just give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I will admit that I've been rather distracted this week. I may or may not have spent a little too much time paying attention to political stuff. It may or may not have. It's possible that I might have spent maybe a little bit more time paying attention to that than studying the Word. It's possible. But God is good and he's faithful and he loves me and he still gives me stuff. Thank you, Lord. So I want to talk to you about we have peace that is more. We have peace that is more. Has anybody not listened to the news this week? Wow, you guys are awesome. But if you just turn on and you start listening to the news, even though you haven't been listening to the news, I'm willing to bet you know what's going on. Because somebody's probably told you. But the world is in a bit of chaos at the moment. And it's like everything is upside down. Everything's turned sideways. The truth is a lie. The lie is a truth. What's white is black and black is white. Who knows what's purple? It's just like nothing makes any sense. Nothing in this world makes any sense. Why are they doing this? How can they not, you know, one of the things that gets me is, well, I'm not surprised by it, but it still gets me, is the news media. It's the news media. What their stated objective is to let people know what the news is, to tell you facts. I don't know when the last time I've watched a regular broadcast news network and I've actually felt like I've gotten news, just information, just letting me know what's going on. It's like it always comes from a particular viewpoint. And it's like what's coming out nowadays all seems to be designed to cause fear, to cause anxiety, to cause anger, to cause frustration. There's almost no pretense anymore of being news. Maybe that's a little unfair, but I think that you're in the same boat as I am. It's like we're maybe a little colored here in our viewpoint of things. But the world is in chaos. Look, we've had this year, the things that we've had, we've been locked down because of this unknown virus. Understandable. We've continued to stay locked down. We find out that it's not very deadly, though it's very contagious, apparently. There's all this going on. We're locked down because of it. Businesses have been shut down. Shut down. Because people are afraid. You've got riots happening because criminals got shot. Riots. Bad guys resisting cops get shot. And they end up dying, which is unfortunate. But rioting happens. Looting happens. Tell me, what does that have to do with injustice within the police system? What is breaking into Target or breaking into the Apple store have to do with any of that? It's chaos. It's madness. And then we have everything that's been going on with the election. We're looking at a lot of us. I can say with confidence that I think everybody here probably would support Trump. And if you're not, I apologize. But I'm pretty sure I know most of you here that you're Trump supporters. And we're looking at this and we're excited to see Trump re-win election and go forward in continuing to fight back against the evils that are in government. We're excited to see that, but then here we see this insane stuff going on with our election process. And we feel like, you know what? It's being stolen from us. We feel like that it doesn't matter what we do, we can't seem to win. That the devil's got the upper hand in all these areas. It's like they cheat to win. It's like, how are we going to win? How are we going to win? Because we have something that they don't. We have something that they don't, and we have a relationship with God. Turn to John 14, verse 27. Coming to the end of Jesus' ministry, towards the end of the book of John, coming to the end of his ministry, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace I give to you." Jesus gave us his peace. His peace. Not peace. His peace. Because he distinctly says, "My peace I give to you." What is his peace? His peace is he absolutely, without exception, trusted God. He always trusted God. No matter what the circumstances looked like, no matter what was going on around him. Let's take an example. Here's Jesus. And he's like, "Okay, we need to go to the other side. Jesus said that I only do what my Father does, and I only say what my Father says." And he says, "We need to go to the other side." That means God told him he needs to go to the other side. So we're in the will of God. We're going to the other side. They get in the boat, and they start going, and there starts a storm arises. Jesus falls asleep. He's tired. He'd been ministering all day. He's exhausted. So he's sleeping. The storm gets so bad that they're about ready to drown. They feel like it anyway. Now, these are experienced fishermen, so they're not just, you know, freaking out because, oh my God, we've got a little water in the boat. They were literally concerned with the boat going down. These are experienced fishermen. And they wake Jesus. They're like, "Jesus, don't you care?" He was so at peace. He was so unconcerned that he was asleep in the middle of a storm. Didn't bother him. He's like, "I'm going to get to the other side. I know I'm going to get to the other side because God told me to get to the other side. You know, if I wake up in the morning and I'm just laying on the water because the ship went down, I'll just get up and start walking." Jesus was not concerned, and he rebuked them. He said, "You have little faith." You know, and he stands there and he says, "Stop it." And immediately it stopped. Because it says he rebuked the storm. He said, "Stop it." And it stilled. And they were terrified with how fast it happened. It wasn't like it just kind of petered out. It was immediate. It was in that moment. Everything went dead still. Because the God of the universe just spoke. He said, "Stop." And it stopped. That peace, that confidence that Jesus had, that he said, "I know what my God has asked me to do. I know where I'm supposed to go. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not afraid." Another example, he goes to this other, I forget where, but he goes to this place, and as he gets there, this wild man possessed with devils, comes out, wild man. I mean, I don't know how many of you have been around anybody who's been possessed, but if you got somebody who would be a wild man, actually, I had one I was in the military, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost 100% positive. Well, let's say I'm 99.5% positive that this guy was demon-possessed, and a lot like the Gerardine. Like, it wasn't just one. He was a wild man. He was crazy. And so it's like, you get around him, it's not comfortable. starts manifesting, it's terrifying. And here he comes running up to him, and he's all cut over. He's got, he's naked, running at you, crazy man. Jesus wasn't afraid. He just stood there, and the man fell at his feet. We don't know how he ran at him. Did he run at him as to attack him, to do violence against him? But he wasn't afraid. And he began to question the man. He rebuked the demons, and the demons started crying. He knew what was going on. Jesus knew. He had peace because he knew. He had confidence in his God. He was not afraid. Peace, my peace, I leave with you. We have a power that the world strives for and cannot find. The world's looking for peace. It's looking for acceptance. You look at the world religions, particularly the pantheons in the whole past time, you look at what was their objective. They were always trying to appease the gods. They were always trying to make themselves in good standing with the God, to have peace with the gods. They were looking to have peace with the power that was beyond them. Even now today, you go into some cultures and they have idols, they have temples or house idols or shrines. And why do they do that? Because they're trying to appease the spirits in the house. They're trying to get peace. They're trying to be at peace. So they're surrendering to that. But we have a peace that the world doesn't have. It's not a peace through surrender. It's a peace through strength. We don't need to surrender. Because Jesus is victorious. It's a peace through strength. We can overcome our enemy. We have a peace from and with God that the world can't understand, can't comprehend. Do you know that? You have a peace from and with God. It's from God and it's with God. Your peace is with God. And since it's, you know, Christmas time, I want to tie this into Christmas. So let's go to Luke 2. Second chapter of Luke, verse 14. So the shepherds are out in the field and the angels show up and they make a proclamation. Actually, I think I might read a little bit of this. What did I say? Verse 14. Starting in verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Glory to God in the highest. Peace. And on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. There is a proclamation happening here. The hosts of heaven, the multitude of the hosts of heaven, declaring glory to God. Because on this earth now has come peace towards man and goodwill. Till this point, there was not peace towards man. There was judgment towards man. You sinned, you received judgment. That's what the law is about. You violate the law, you have to pay the price. You have to do what the law says to be justified. You have to spill the blood in order for the blood to cover you so that you can be justified. And they were doing this, not that the sacrifice brought justification, but the sacrifice was a proclamation for that which was to come. That blood must be spilt to satisfy our wrongdoing. And it says, peace on earth, peace towards men. Goodwill and peace towards men, The heavenly hosts, the subjects of God are saying that now there is goodwill towards man, that there is peace towards man, from God towards man. From God towards man, that's you. That you have peace with God. You have peace with God. In Christ Jesus, you have peace with God. You have peace with God. God's not looking to punish you. He's not looking to do you harm. He's not looking to cause you to atone for your sins. He has brought peace through Christ Jesus, that through every sin committed by man, there is but one sacrifice need be made, and that's Jesus. He satisfies it all. And we enter into that peace, His peace. He was never in opposition of God. He was never, He never at once was away from God. That peace is with us. I wrote down, the angels are the ones to bring about God's will on the earth, right? They're God's police force. They're God's army. They're God's one to bring God's judgment in the Old Testament. The angels were the one. And when you have the angels proclaiming peace and goodwill towards man, that's a good thing. When you have the police force, the army declaring peace and goodwill, that's a good thing. The armies of heaven are no longer looking to bring judgment and justice against us, but looking to bring it for us. To bring it for us. The peace of God. We have that peace in us. In this day and age, we look around us and you look at everything that's going on. I'm going to say something. Okay. How do I want to say this? I want to say this carefully. Regardless of what befalls in the future with politics and with the election, we have peace. Regardless, we have peace. We trust in God. And it's not, I don't want to say it in this way. I don't want to say, you know what, regardless of what happens, God is good, you know, and we just need to accept the results. Our peace doesn't come through surrender. Our peace comes through victory. What's the victory? Christ Jesus and Him in us, the hope of glory. Just as we started doing this, I'll say this, that word, that it's our peace is through victory, is a prophetic word. I did not know that until I stood up here and started talking. And that is, I'm still trying to reel with it in my own brain. I'm like, this is awesome. That is awesome. It's not through surrender. That's what the world does, which is why they set up idols or they give in to sin or they give in to this pressure and that pressure, because the only peace they can find is through surrender. If they can appease the enemy, okay, I'll do what you want. But our strength comes through victory and the fact that we are victorious in Christ. We don't have to stop. We don't have to give up. We don't have to bend our knee and bow down. We bend our knee and we bow down to one and one only, and that is the Lord God of heaven. Well, what do? We keep fighting. Why do we keep fighting? Why do we keep pushing on? Why do we keep doing it? Well, because we want to be obedient to God. We want to stand for righteousness. We want to stand for justice. We want to stand for that which is good. And we know that if we resist the devil, he will flee. The minute we surrender, we're no longer resisting. We stand up and we continue to push against him. We continue to push. We continue to push. And you know what? He will stop. He will stop. Because that's what the Word tells us. God told us this. That He will flee. Not only because He's a coward. I say that hesitantly. But because if we resist, then we have the host of heaven fighting with us. We have the host of heaven fighting with us. When we are in the will of God and we are standing with Him, standing for righteousness, God will back us up. And we'll see amazing things. We need to choose His peace in all of this. Because, like I said, we have the one thing the world doesn't have. We have peace. And when everything's going chaotic around us and everything looks like it's going wrong, we can have peace in the middle of that storm and not be afraid, not be concerned. You know what? Right now, I still believe that Trump's going to win. I still do. I do. Why? Because he is. Because he's right. He's doing what's right, and he's resisting. And as long as he's willing to fight, I'm willing to stand with him. I'm willing to continue to believe for him. I'm willing to continue to pray for them. I watched one of the news articles I watched was Sidney Powell at a rally, and she got up, and they were saying, "We're praying for you." And she said, "We feel your prayers. We want your prayers. We need your prayers, and we feel them." I mean, that's a statement that they actually recognize that they've got the backing of those who are praying. Don't take it lightly that your faith has no effect. Your faith is what is empowering them to continue the fight when they've got everything against them. They're standing in the midst of a battle that most of us have never even considered. Having everything, the media, the politicians, the political powers coming against you. Do you remember when they saw group after group of lawyers quit the Trump administration? Why? Because they were being pressured, they were being manipulated, and they were being terrorized to quit. These people who are fighting now are fighters, and they're choosing to fight because they know what's right, and they know they've already faced opposition. So continue to pray, continue to lift them up because they need it. And most importantly, if you're going to enter into this battle, don't give up on your faith. You trust God. And this is like I prayed about this. God, and I don't think that I have the right to say, God, make Trump win. I don't think that I have the right to stand there, but I do have this right. God, I believe that my vote counts, and nothing has the right to dilute my vote. And I believe that. I know I can stand there because it's right. It's righteousness that my vote count. And that they can expose the works of darkness. That they can expose the lies. We can pray for that. The battle rages on. And this is a microcosm of what it's like in our lives when we choose to fight. We continue to resist. We continue to fight. We don't give up. We keep going. You keep going. You keep doing. Having been in the Marine Corps and having been in boot camp, Jesse and I have both been there, and we've talked about at the end of the second phase, there's three phases in boot camp. Each of them are a month long. The end of the second phase, you had this grueling test of endurance that you had to take. And full gear, you marched up this mountain. I don't know what the grade was on it, but it was steep. I mean, it's like this, going up that thing, to the point where sometimes you have to get on your hands and knees. And you go up this mountain, that's where you start. Go up this mountain, you wind down around, and then you get out to the beach, and then you walk along the beach for a few miles. I'm telling you, that beach is the worst part. You see the mountain, you're like, yeah, I can get to the top of that. and you're getting tired, and you say, I can reach that. You get on that beach, though, it goes endless. Endless, miles and miles and miles. You don't know when it's going to stop. It just goes on and on and on and on. And I saw a lot of people give up at that point. They gave up because they didn't think they could do it. Those that made it said, I'm going to do this however long it takes. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep going. As long as I have strength in my body, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going forward because I don't want to fail. I don't want to have to go through this again. I don't want to have to fight this battle again. I want to make it. I want to do it. I want to go on to the next thing. And it's like, we need to get some of that fight in us. We need to continue to progress and move forward and fight and fight and fight and fight. Because the devil can't defeat that. He can't overcome that. When we are willing to fight to our last breath, the devil cannot win. Because our peace is through strength. It's through victory. Jesus already won. He already beat him. We already know that. Jesus is in us. Jesus is in us. The victor. He already defeated him. He knows how to defeat him again. And we can trust in that victory, that victor, and that victory to overcome in us again. But a lot of time, we give up because it's easy. We think it's easy, but it's not. We need to keep fighting. Fighting for that peace, that victory, to overcome. To say, no, that's where I'm headed. It's like, I don't care what you put in my way, that's where I'm going. I'm going to go over it. I'm going to go around it. I'm going to go through it. It doesn't matter, but I'm getting there. When we have that kind of attitude, there is no power on earth or in hell that can stop us. We will be the army of God. We'll run upon the cities. We'll enter into the houses. There will be no place that will be hidden from us. There will be no place that can be stopped. We can be stopped. We will be victorious. Romans 14:17. We're talking about peace, that we have the peace that is more. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom. That means you seek peace. You seek peace. Where can you find your peace from day to day? God, what do you want me to do today? God, what do you want me to do today? God, what are you wanting me to do? How do you want me to for this day to go? Who do you want me to talk to? What needs to get done? And then we know what God's asked us to do. The peace of God will guide. It guides us and it guards us. I mean, it's important. If it guides us and guards us, I'm thinking peace is something that we need to desperately hold on to. Our peace with God. It's the kingdom of God, is righteousness, peace, and joy. And we can overcome in that. Romans 5:1. I'm going to end with this. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because of the faith that we have in Him. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are victorious. We are victorious. Get in the peace of God and stay there. Regardless of what the world does around us, get in the peace of God and stay there. Let it guard you. Let it guide you. Let it keep you. Let it empower you and cause you to see victory in your life. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at the situations, but hold fast to His peace within you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your peace. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us peace, not as the world gives, that You gave us Your peace. We choose to stand in Your peace. We want to be in Your peace. Lord, help us to dwell in Your peace. Help us to not wander from Your peace, but to stay there and to learn from Your peace so that we can learn to be victorious through victory and give You glory. We trust You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we give You the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a wonderful week. Be blessed.